morning, everyone. Much bigger, fuller crowd than our first board meeting just a month ago. Welcome everyone, and welcome all the board members who are here today. And on the phone, we have Ron. Thank you for joining us by phone. Thank you all for bearing through the weather to get here. I'm going to turn it over quickly to Sarah to give our safety briefing before we begin the meeting.
Good morning, everyone. Before we get started, I'd like to give you the safety information with you. Fire alarm locations are located to all several and most external doors in this building. And fire extinguishers are located at the back doors and towards the left. You can find both aid kits and trained DNR employees at any one of our reception areas. Also for emergency situations. In the event of a fire, the alarms will go off and you will be asked to evacuate this building. We ask that you please leave this room using the double doors here to my left and exit the building using the glass double doors. Please follow DNR staff towards the assembly area. And in the event of an earthquake, I'm sure you all know the drill, but please drop, cover, and hold on to your chair. Once the shaking has stopped, you evacuate the same way you would for a fire. Also, at this time, we ask that you please silence your phones, and for members of the public who wish to comment and have material, please give them to me. Please do not approach the board members. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Let's move to the item of approval of the minutes. We have meeting minutes from January 3rd, 2017, regular meeting minutes, and January 17, 2017, meeting minutes. Is there a motion to approve these minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion on minutes? Seeing no discussion, we move. All those in favor of approval of the minutes for January 3rd, 2017, and January 17, 2017, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against, say nay. Next, I'd like to open it up for public comments for general items of interest. Given how full our crowd is, I'd like everybody to respect sort of the ongoing rule of 3 minutes for public comments, please. First person signed up to provide public comment for general items of interest, Graham Taylor.
Good morning. Good morning, board. Commissioner Franz, welcome. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Graham Taylor. I work with the National Parks Conservation Association. We're a nonprofit group that advocates on behalf of parks, and I'm here for two simple reasons today. First, I want to hope that DNR reaffirms the letter past Commissioner Goldmark wrote to the Navy that says the DNR will not participate in electromagnetic warfare training by using state lands to park their emitter trucks. As a park advocate, I care about places like Olympic National Park that have outstanding qualities, including a natural soundscape. The Ho River Valley, for example, has been described as the least noise-polluted state in the lower 48. We want to try to make room for the Navy in their training, but perhaps not over our quietest places. And so my organization was extremely happy that DNR took this position in 2015, and considering that there's a new commissioner that we're very happy to see, we hope that that policy continues. Another point, as a park advocate, I care about things that make parks special, and one of those things is wildlife. I've been extremely interested in the long-term conservation strategy for the marbled murrelet. While Olympic National Park does provide core habitat, adjacent lands are extremely important for the survival of this important seabird. So I really commend DNR's work in trying to set aside enough habitat so that the marbled murrelet can recover over time. So with that, thank you so much for giving me a minute of your time, and welcome to the position, Commissioner Franz.
Thank you so much. Next, I'd like to call up Christopher Mendoza.
Morning, board. Welcome, Commissioner Franz. It's a pleasure having you on board.
First of all, my name is Christopher Mendoza with Mendoza Environmental. I've represented several of the environmental NGOs, some of which are present, Washington Forest Law Center, Washington Environmental Council, Olympic Forest Coalition, and others. Today I wanted to speak a little bit about the aquatic resources protection under the State Lands HCP versus the Forest Practices HCP. I know that some of you are aware there are differences in aquatic resource protections, and we're talking aquatics here, fish and amphibians, not terrestrial critters. The State Lands HCP has protective buffers to the extent that the streams that contain salmon, trout, and even non-fish-bearing streams have healthy buffers on them that are very protective to the extent that they basically take a precautionary approach where information is lacking on the protective needs of these species, but extra protection is given. We'd like to applaud that effort, first of all, and hope that the state moves to maintain those buffers as they move ahead with their sustainable harvest calculations and looking at different alternatives for harvest under those scenarios. Secondly, I'd like to talk about how these streams are laid out for their buffers. There's a stream typing system that some of you are probably more familiar with than others that is applied on the private lands side of enforcement and compliance. That system has essentially been borrowed onto state lands concerning water typing, where you put buffers on streams that contain fish or not, based on what those streams look like. The private land side is going through an adaptive management process right now that will likely lead to revised protocols to determine what type of streams you're buffering. And I'm hopeful that the state lands will, once that's wrapped up, will benefit from those revisions and application over to the state lands HCP side. Again, welcome and thank you for your time.
Next, I'd like to call up Philip Kitchell. Patch Albert, you'll be going after. If you want to go ahead and come up, we got a lot of people for public comments. So.
Well, good morning, Commissioner. I'm Phil Kitchell from SQUIM, Washington, and thank you for the opportunity to testify. And I am in awe of the new faces I'm seeing at the board level. I applaud your efforts, and I wish you well. I want to make specific reference to some work that was done in Clallam County with our Trust Land Advisory Committee. There were some concerns expressed at the conclusion of that effort as to a possible request to the board to consider doing an economic analysis of our state trust lands. As you know, there's an RCW 7910090 that requires periodically at intervals to be determined by the board that the department shall cause an economic analysis to be made of those state lands held in trust where the nature of the trust makes maximization of the economic return to the trust beneficiaries of income from state lands the prime objective. The last economic analysis that was concluded was done by Deloitte Touche in the late 90s. We had extensive comments from the University of Washington, WSU, and other trust beneficiaries with that. There was a value placed upon those trust lands of just under $9 billion. Then Commissioner of Public Lands, Jennifer Belcher, asked that a deduction of 40% be made from that number to fully quantify the old growth or those over-mature range stands that had been placed on hold beyond, I would say, the requirements of state or federal law and beyond the requirements of the scientific community. Those lands were all set aside. Subsequent to that, we have not had a timber sale of these overage stands in that Eau Claire water block since the early 90s. And I will say to Superintendent of Public Instruction Reichdahl on this one that that is the most valuable lands that the schools have under trust management. And for there not to have been any timber sales in that block has caused what I would say is irreparable harm and a failure of the Board of Natural Resources to meet the paramount duty provisions of the state's constitution. I would request that you review the document that I've given you, 7910090. I would ask that economic analysis be done prior to a sustained yield calculation, because I don't believe without that information, including the stand inventory information by trust, that you can quantify what the full impact is going to be upon your next sustained yield calculation. So again, wish you all well. You have a full agenda in front of you, and thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much. Mr. Miller, I'll have you come up as well so you can call us for the next speaker, please.
Go ahead. I'm Kai Alberg, here representing the Port Angeles Business Association. We are a business organization of approximately 80 members with the purpose of promoting business in the greater Port Angeles area and increasing business growth and developing jobs. We respectfully request that you choose Marbled Murrelet Conservation Alternative B as the least burdensome alternative that complies with the conservation mandate. The Marbled Murrelet Long-Term Conservation Strategy Draft Environmental Impact Statement states that there is not yet a body of science to clearly identify the primary cause of Marbled Murrelet population decline. Thus, there is no science-based reason to choose an alternative that would be more burdensome and restrictive and leave DNR less able to fully carry out its fiduciary duty to manage the State Forest Board trust lands for the maximum economic benefit of the beneficiaries. We furthermore request that the Board of Natural Resources choose a sustainable harvest calculation of not less than the current 550 million board feet annually, as set forth in Alternative 1. We understand that this amount, prior to adoption in 2004, initially was to be set at 636 million board feet, the reduction to 550 million being motivated by factors, some of which no longer exist. Thus, we believe that the level for the next decade should, in no event, be lower than 550 million board feet annually. We request that the BNR provide a detailed explanation of any diminution in the sustainable harvest calculation that you adopt for the next 10 years from the 636 million board feet per annum level originally proposed in 2004, keeping in mind your fiduciary duty to manage the State Forest Board trust lands for the maximum economic benefit of the beneficiaries. We also request that BNR adopt the 702 million board feet arrearage calculation as set forth in Alternative 2, representing the unsold harvest volume from each individual harvest unit, specifying that this amount contains 92 million board feet in arrears from Clallam County State Forest Board trust lands. This arrearage, we believe, should be offered for sale over the next 3 years. We strongly believe that BNR would have no legal authority to adopt, and it would constitute an actionable breach of BNR's fiduciary duty if BNR were to adopt a lower arrearage calculation, such as 462 million board feet, that would reduce the amounts owed to some beneficiaries, like Clallam County, by the overcut in other counties. BNR owes each and every beneficiary an individual duty of undivided loyalty. If a banker or attorney were to hold funds in trust for two different beneficiaries and reduce distributions to one trust beneficiary below the level he or she is legally entitled to because of an over-distribution to another beneficiary, that banker or attorney would have committed fraud and would be legally liable. The principles involved here are no different. Finally, we request that the Department of Natural Resources conduct an accurate and detailed resource inventory of its trust lands to include all resources with annual updates. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. I'm going to ask Terry Bell to come up. Ken, please go ahead and begin.
Good morning, Chairperson Franz and members of the board. I'm Ken Miller, small forest landowner with three parcels in Thurston and Grace Harbor County. I'm an advocate for my peers, mainly in the regulatory arena. Some call me a PETA. I'm here to make 2 points. Small forest landowners rely on this board to sustain markets for timber and particularly large logs. We like to grow our trees so we can watch them grow until we need some money. We tend to treat our forest land like a 401k fund or an emergency fund that, again, will only be used if we need the money. We usually die leaving a legacy of larger trees. We provide added critter habitat diversity just as estate lands do. We often have to accept lower log prices for our oversized timber. We do depend on the board to continue growing and selling big timber so these specialized mills will not go away, leaving us without markets when we follow our hearts rather than our financial advisors. Secondly, however, don't let the assets get too big, which I think was some of the subject of the earlier speakers. If the timber does get too big, you will risk losing the ability to effectively manage these trust lands. Pay attention to the Oregon experiences where billions of dollars of trust land assets were unintentionally turned into unmanageable and unsellable liabilities. To summarize, thanks for keeping critical infrastructure available for smalls, and thanks for continuing the legacy of long-term, balanced stewardship of the lands in your care. Thank you very much.
Brian Garrett, can you come up, please?
Good morning. My name is Harry Bell. I am here filling in for Carol Johnson of the North Olympic Timber Action Committee, who canceled this morning because of the weather. I've submitted her brief reports. I apologize, she only gave me one copy, and I'll just highlight one or two points that we'd like to make. While we are concerned, obviously, with trust revenue in the North Olympic Peninsula, I'd like to focus and keep your attention on the notion of the important infrastructure that the North Olympic Timber Action Committee represents, the loggers and truckers, and to some degree, the mills. Over decades, the sustainable harvest from DNR trust lands has continued to decline. In part, we have seen a decline in that important infrastructure, loggers, truckers, and importantly, mills. These are an important family wage job contribution to our economy. And so I encourage you to look at the alternatives that you are looking at for both the arrearage and the sustainable harvest calculation, and pick the alternative that maximizes the volume within the constraints of the Endangered Species Act. Thank you.
Morning.
Brian Gregg, you can go ahead and please come up. We got a lot of speakers and we're just trying to be efficient, so I appreciate your patience. Go ahead, Brian.
Okay.
This is Brian Garrett.
Yeah.
Oh, Brian Garrett. Well, you got jumped in line by Brian Gregg, so you got the dual Brian.
Go ahead.
I wasn't sure there was another Brian Garrett here. So
it's like the life of Brian.
Yeah, that was Monty Python. So.
I know.
My name is Brian Garrett. I'm also with the Port Angeles Business Association. In many ways, I echo what Mr. Allberg has said. The PABA believes that because of the operation of RCW 79.64.110 revenue distribution, the board's trust fiduciary responsibility is to each county independently rather than all counties in aggregate. This makes a 702 board feet for those counties where timber sales did not make the sustainable harvest the appropriate volume that needs to be sold in addition to the next decade's sustainable harvest. Specifically, we expect 92 million board feet in arrearage in Clallam County to be sold in addition to the new sustainable harvest. We are aware that much of the arrearage is a result of not harvesting trees within stream or riparian issues areas that could have been harvested under the Habitat Conservation Plan. In order to avoid a similar possibility or a greater arrearage in the next decade, we recommend by timber sale a report of the volume of timber not harvested within the riparian-ish areas and with explanation why. We recognize that there may be a good site-specific reasons, but those need to be transparent to both the Board of Natural Resources and at least the County Boards of Commissioners on a per-sale and aggregate sale basis. This will enable the additional volume to be identified and sold in order to mitigate for the revenue loss to the county beneficiaries. In order for the beneficiaries to manage their operations, they need to know at least on an annual basis their expected revenue rather than suffering an accumulated loss in another arrearage debate at the end of the next sustainable harvest calculation planning decade. Thank you, Commissioner. Board.
The other Brian.
Brian. If Ron Richards, I believe, could come up as well. Thank you. Go ahead, Brian.
Good morning. I'm here to speak on behalf of Olympic Climate Action. We're a citizen action group, grassroots of about 100 members plus. And we're interested in the forests primarily from the standpoint of their ability to sequester CO2 carbon. And we recognize the value of managing forests for the beneficiaries of trusts. But we were also looking towards the future when perhaps there will be some value actually presented through a carbon tax, which I understand there are several bills being floated, wherein there could be some compensation for forest sequestration in and of itself. And we also contend that we should use the best science in approaching understanding of the issue of sequestration. And although there have been many advocates promoting some of the points in the Consortium for Research of Renewable and Industrial Materials, or CORM, we have included in the appendix of the Trust Lands Advisory Committee report many scientific studies that would contend and contest those points that are made by the School of Forestry from the University of Washington regarding the sequestration value. On a personal level, that has nothing to do with OCA, I just want to say that I support, I was a proxy at a couple of Trust Lands Advisory Committee meetings, and I fully support DNR's management of our trust lands. I'm worried that special interests have inserted themselves into this process too deeply. I do recognize that there are the needs of our junior taxing districts. We address them. They can't all be met through levies. But the intergenerational equity is a primary function of DNR that these other special interests don't have to consider. So I recommend that we continue to maintain the status quo when it comes to modeling and developing our sustainable harvest yields. Thank you.
I'm going to invite Connie
Blavar
to come up. Go ahead, Mr.
Hi, Ron Richards. I'm the chairman of Save Olympic Peninsula. We're an organization which, among other things, is attempting to educate our elected officials about the evils of the Navy electronic warfare raids. But I'd just like to second Graham Taylor's request to want to keep the same position in regard to the natural range as the predecessor, Commissioner Krantz. I'm also here for myself to caution you a little bit about the PABA's advice to you. I ran for county commissioner last year, and I faced the onslaught of the PABA and the timber interests in my campaign. And I did about as well, almost exactly as Commissioner Franz did in my district, which unfortunately I wasn't running statewide. But anyway, a lot of this conversation stuck around in the campaign. A PA white paper where they claim that the DNR is violating their fiduciary responsibilities, totally without any evidence as to that fact. The PABA, as I explained to Commissioner Peach earlier, their white paper said the DNR had to harvest this land, period, without bothering to quote the rest of the statute, which said, well, unless environmental conditions dictated otherwise. They also said, if the DNR has failed to comply with all of these fiduciary responsibilities, then they're liable to the beneficiaries of Quillen County. Well, it was a big F, and they never did show any place where they had, in fact, violated those responsibilities. Now, I was glad to hear the first of the dueling Bryans today concede that there might have been valid reasons for you to not harvest that timber. That's a good start. I see Mr. Peach over here has the Trust Lands Advisory Committee recommendations in front of him. And I also want to caution you on that. Those are the recommendations which are very much not overwhelmingly voted in either direction over about 5 to 6 votes or 6 to 5 votes. But it was from an industry that was heavily dominated, or it was from a committee that was set up by the timber industries and heavily dominated by the timber industry. So I want you to recognize that there is a large part of Pollen County that disagrees strongly on the report. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good morning. I'm Connie Beauvais, Port Commissioner, Port of Port Angeles. The Port of Port Angeles has conducted an initial review of the draft EIS on alternatives for establishment of a sustainable harvest level for forested state trust lands in western Washington. We plan to further study this DEIS as well as other information that is available. As a direct trust beneficiary of state trust lands in Clallam County, we are vitally interested in this public policy decision process and impact on our economic interests. We are assured that the affected environment, environmental consequences, and cumulative effects of all alternatives analyzed are adequately addressed and provide robust ecological safeguards and sustainability of the forest resource. We are aware that approximately half of the entire forest trust estate is withdrawn or severely restricted from harvest consideration, dedicated to conservation values only. In that context, the particular duty of the Port of Port Angeles as a trust beneficiary is to seek maximum economic benefit to our constituents, the Port District, and Clallam County. Based on our initial analysis, Alternative 2 seems to provide the best maximum harvest levels within the near term. Additionally, we strongly urge you to consider modifying Alternative 2 in ways that can retain ecological safeguards documented in the DEIS while enhancing economic benefits to trust beneficiaries. These enhancements to Alternative 2 include arrearage. Move the sale of all of the Clallam County arrearage forward to the first 3 years, keeping the decadal harvest levels constant as proposed in Option 2. And anticipate harvest level shortfall. Modify the 10% reduction of harvest levels for all alternatives, paragraphs 2.2. So that a 10% increase in the calculated harvest levels is authorized within the OESF. It is a certainty that target harvest levels over the decade will fall short of calculated and authorized levels. Decades of experience supports this assertion. If analysis in this DEIS supports a proposed harvest level, it is the duty of the department to make the best effort to achieve those harvest levels. Since the DEIS assumes a 10% uncertainty level is reasonable, set the authorized target level 10% higher than the calculation. Organize and fund to achieve that level and monitor actual achievement. The certainty of fall down based on experience will result in the best chance to actually achieve acceptable target harvest levels. If by some wondrous circumstance no fall down in harvest levels occurs through the decade, the department can slow the sales program accordingly. Otherwise, all the risk of harvest level uncertainty accrues to the beneficiaries. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioner Franz, members of the board. My name is Matt Kaniski. I'm the Washington Manager for American Forest Resource Council. I just want to take a moment to come up to welcome all the new members and to thank all the continuing members for your work on this board. You have a big job ahead of you in 2017. Be looking at a lot of the issues that are being raised by the other commenters this morning. I just want to mention, who is AFRC? We are a nonprofit organization that advocates for the sustainable management of our forest, primarily focused on public lands in 5 western states, advocating for the health of our forests and the health of our local communities. Most of our members are located in many rural communities, providing critical jobs to those communities. So just today I wanted to mention and highlight present. We have representatives of our membership, including Hampton Lumber, Sierra Pacific Industries, Interfor, Cascade Hardwoods Group, McFarland Cascade, and the Port of Port Angeles. It's just a small list of about our 50 to 60 members in the Northwest. And as always, we are here to assist you, help educate you, provide our perspective on the issue before you. Thank you.
And Catherine, if you can come up. I apologize if I'm not saying people's names correctly. Just trying to read the answer. Mr. Town.
Hi, my name is Mike Town, and for years I worked on the Reeder Foothills Forest Recreation Advisory Board, and which contains the Singletary timber sale. I'm here to talk to you about the potential for a great opportunity for the state of Washington. As an ex-silviculturist for the U.S. Forest Service and a forestry teacher, I do understand the DNR's fiduciary responsibility. However, I also know that there are some places on the land, in the landscape, in which management for non-timber benefits may provide greater benefits to the citizens of the state of Washington. Cemetery is unique because it is it's a beautiful forest, it's forest board land, and it sits between a recently acquired Snohomish County Trailhead and Wallace Falls State Park. Delaying the cemetery sale so that the DNR can do a reconfiguration allow for studying the opportunity to join a trail through the forest between the county trailhead and Wallace State Falls Park would provide some significant benefits. One of these benefits would be able to provide an opportunity for a family-friendly trail to go 4 miles up to access viewpoints to two beautiful 150-foot waterfalls and a recently built DNR bridge over the Wallace Falls Gorge. This could be a signature trail opportunity and a unique photo op for to define recreation and quality of life in the Snohomish County region. Two, the trail and the trailhead will disperse recreationalists from overcrowded Wallace Falls State Park, which is filled almost every weekend by 10 o'clock in the morning because it receives about 170,000 hikers. Three, this plan could bring an additional 20 to 30,000 estimated visitors to the new trailhead, which would generate additional revenue for the taxing districts. Four, preserving portions of this area will provide an outstanding hiking experience, which would fulfill the Reeder Foothills Forest Recreation Plan, which volunteers spent years and years working on. And five, most importantly, compromise could provide benefits to the county, to the agency, to the state parks. Without loss of revenue, it could also provide significant low elevation, all year recreational forest experiences, which is rare in this area and will grow in importance as the population of Snohomish and King County continue to grow. And I'd like to also thank the county of Snohomish County that passed 5-0 a recent resolution on this issue, and especially Councilman Lowe and Council Executive Dave Summers, who have worked also on this issue tirelessly for the last couple of months. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner, Board. My name is Dan Cawthorn. I'm a Cotton County Commissioner. I'm basically here today to just kind of have you new folks know that I consider myself Mr. Wokiakum. I represent this county. I've lived there all my life, and I'm going to be here quite a bit this year. So just wanted to make sure that you know who I am, and I'm going to be here and holding people accountable. I have one concern that I had at the public meeting that we had in Wokiakum County here a couple weeks ago, and it was on the public hearing of the Murrelet and the Sustainable Hill. Coming away from that meeting, unknowns and speculation is what I came away with, and some of my constituents, same thing, not knowing if there is a bird there. We have the habitat. Now, this is, you know, I realize the DNR, you know, make sure that there's a habitat that's there. So I'm not really banging on the DNR. What I'm banging on is U.S. Fish and Wildlife not really knowing what is there. Wokiakum County, you know, we're fighting for our survival. And if we do not, you know, have this revenue, we're done as a county. And I have to commend the Newcomb Land Commissioner. She's been reaching out to the counties and finding a solution, and we are working on those solutions, so I thank you, and we'll continue to do that. Mr. Peach, I'd like to thank you for representing the counties. I think you do a wonderful job, and I've been around a long time, so I do know that you're doing a good job. For the new members, I just was here to just kind of let you know that I'm going to be here, and I'm going to be talking. I feel that, you know, being such a small county, and some of the facts are really not there. I have invited the Land Commissioner to come down, and we can go over some of these trust lands and see what we see. So I think that we're reaching out, and, you know, some of the stuff that your board, you might hear really isn't true. You have to really come down and see it, what really is going on out there. So anyway, thank you, and welcome aboard.
Thank you very much. Mr. Goldman.
Good morning, Commissioner, and good morning, Board. My name is Peter Goldman. I'm the director and founder of the Washington Forest Law Center. And the center frequently represents and partners with Conservation Northwest, the Washington Environmental Council, Wild Fish Conservancy, Seattle Audubon Society, Olympic Forest Coalition, and Defenders of Wildlife relative to state forests. Mr. Cawthorn, I'm going to be here, too, for the next year. And at the end of this process, we're going to be friends. And I think we're going to agree on the best science and the best policy, and we're going to move forward on this issue. I'm going to be here for Singletary during the other comment period. But at this point, what I want to do is just simply say welcome to the commissioner and the new board members. It's extremely important work, and thank you very much for doing it. I want to thank the DNR staff for this incredible transition period. It has been very smooth, very transparent, very open. We appreciate the reconsideration of some issues that appear to have been taken care of in the previous administration, and I just want to thank DNR staff for their cooperation. We look forward to working with you and all four stakeholders on developing 21st century solutions to how we manage and deal with the state and county forest board lands. Our goals are to see these lands continue to do what they're doing now, period. However, we want to ensure that we are implementing the state's 1997 Habitat Conservation Plan in letter and in spirit. And we really do think that it is in the best long-term interest of the state to adhere to those high federal standards. We want to work with this board on developing ecosystem services that actually can help augment conservation on the state and county forest board lands. This is not just pie in the sky we're talking about. A previous speaker mentioned carbon credits. These are real things that are really happening right now that can bridge, that can augment conservation and make it less painful to the beneficiaries for doing it that way. We want to help DNR reform the way they market and deal with forest products. A lot of demand out there for older logs, sourced logs as opposed to logs that are sold at auctions, 100 acres at a time, and long-term supply contracts are a very rich opportunity for the DNR to tap into large log buyers. We want to help educate the board about the problem. The problem is that 30 to 40% of all of our logs are going on ships overseas right now. They're going to China. They're leaving the local mills in a real pinch. They don't have enough logs. Mills are closing, but it is not simply conservation that is closing these mills. It is the fact that 30% of our logs are going on ships whole log, and they're being used in places like China to build factories and whatnot, power plants, etc., concrete forms. So we need to understand that this is not just an environmental problem. This is a problem that's caused by our export market as well. We want to work with the local mills on developing ideas like cross-laminated timber, which could add value to wood at the local level. And many of us are working with Forterra on some of the innovative work they're doing on that. We have cautions about the industry because we don't want to just see a lot of young forests everywhere, but we see that adding value to forest products through cross-laminated timber has a lot of potential. We want to see longer rotations and doing anything we can to incent longer rotations because we have better functioning forests. And we want to see the long-term sustainable use of our forests. But at the same time, we also have to recognize that this isn't the year 1888 anymore. This isn't where we're building our schools from our forests and not wanting settlers to take our forests and for the state to sell our forests. We are in the year 2017. We have to bring the system up to date so that it works for communities and works for the state and works for all the citizens. Thank you.
That concludes our public comments for general items of interest. I'm going to now move for public comments for timber sale action items. We have Philip Kitchell. And then Peter Goldman to follow.
Hello again, Philip Kitchell, Scranton, Washington. The document that I've handed out to you is a summary of revenues produced from the harvest of State Forest Board lands transfer in Clown County from 1989 to 2015. This is a document that is occurring, these revenues are occurring in the same format for every county in the state. And as you begin to talk with counties like Wakayakum, Skagit, Snohomish, Clallam, Mason, whatever the timber counties are, this is where those dollars go from your timber sales program. These revenues are critically important to the operation of these junior taxing districts, as well as those revenues that go to the county's general fund and the county's road department. I would also note, if you would please, the state general fund category in that, which shows you the revenues that the harvest activities from these state forest board lands transfer go to the state's general fund. And for the superintendent of public instruction, I would ask that you note of the five school districts listed in Clallam County, which is Cape Flattery, Clallam A, is where that's any of the two, but Crescent, Forks, Quilling Valley School District, Squim, and Port Angeles. Those levy dollars, those dollars that are designated under this heading as Port Angeles School District General, for example, for a reason unbeknownst to me or to anybody, those revenues are deducted from these school districts' basic education allocation. In a state with the language of the paramount duty provision, it is beyond belief to me that this is still continuing. However, I would also note that those monies that go to our school districts' bonds funds are retained by the district, and the result is a significant property tax reduction to those school districts. For those areas like Chimicum School District, Squim School District that have had multiple bond failures, in large part, not solely, but large part because of the lack of revenue generation from the state school trust lands, these revenues are critical, and so I commend you for your efforts and your activities to offer these lands for sale. It is critically important to us and to the maximum degree possible, and I would urge you to continue to do so. Thank you.
Sorry for the delay. Peter Goldman again, Washington Forest Law Center. And in this testimony, I am speaking on behalf of the Alpine Lakes Protection Society, Pilchuck Audubon Society, and Skykomish Environmental and Economic Alliance. So we are respectfully asking this board, at the request of Snohomish County, through a 5-0 unanimous recommendation, resolution. Thank you, Mr. Lowe. You are a hero to us. To postpone the Singletary sale for 1 month. Now, it is definitely unusual for the board to authorize a sale and then the next month hold it back. There's no doubt about it. It's not it doesn't happen all the time. But a little history why we got here. Citizens were working very closely with DNR for a long time to try to resolve something relative to this timber sale. compromises. Very late at the end of December, however, when Snohomish County had been advised by the DNR that there was no way that the county could just forego its money and reduce the size of the timber sale proportionately. There's just no way to do it under state law. They had to either log the whole thing. There's just no choice. Other than you want it back through the reconveyance process, that's state law. You can have it that way, but you can't. There's no way to compromise here. At the very end of December, that sale was put back on the calendar until January 4th. And that's when this board last saw that sale. Since that time, at that date, Snohomish County could not be prepared to be here at the January 4th meeting and was not here. And I was the only person who came before this board and requested Singletary to be held. However, the board did not do so. Subsequent to the January 4th meeting, however, as I just said, Snohomish County has resolved 5-0 to request this board to just take a pause here and allow at least 25 acres to be considered so that we could buffer the park and work on something that's win-win for everybody. And Snohomish County is willing to even compensate the beneficiary, the junior beneficiaries, for that concession. Mr. Town made the case why this is so important, and I'm not going to repeat it for lack of time, but I do want to urge the board to do this. This is not a second bite at the apple. We believe that there just wasn't time at the January 4th meeting for the county to prepare for this, to understand, you know, what they had to do. There were some informal phone calls inquiring, but there just wasn't a positive attitude that we can make something work. But now we do have that time. This is 25 acres out of a 178-acre timber sale. The county owns almost 1,900 acres of land behind this sale. We intend to work very hard with the stakeholders and the county to try to work, maybe use this as an experimental area to try to see what we can do when counties want to forego their income. Maybe there are compromises, alternative kinds of forestry. There's all kinds of opportunities for creative thinking here. And we're simply asking for a month to just protect this trail so that we can make the case that recreation is a competitive industry in these rural areas, and that the folks in Gold Bar and Sultan and every can have a great hiking trail right in their backyard that doesn't have to basically follow through a clear cut for half a mile. Thank you.
That concludes this time public comment on timber sale action items. At this time, I'd like to call up Tom Shea to present the timber sale.
Good morning, Commissioner. Good morning, members of the board. For the record, my name is Tom Shea. I'm the Assistant Division Manager of Product Sales. So this month, we have two items on the agenda. We have the January 2017 results and our current proposed sales for the month of March. In January, we offered and sold 13 sales totaling 53 million board feet, with an average sold price of $341 per thousand. Average number of bids for sale is 2.8, which is about where we've been running, which is not too bad right now. Are there any questions on our January sales? Hearing none, we'll move on to our current proposal. For the month of March, we have 17 sales totaling 65.3 million board feet with an average of $327 per thousand board feet. You've all received a pack of those sales. Are there any questions on those sales? Oh, this is easy. Hearing none, I would recommend a motion for approving all sales for auction.
Is there a motion for all sales be approved for auction?
Move to approve all sales for auction that have been presented.
Is there a second? Second. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye. Aye. All those against?
Aye.
Say no. Looks like the motion passed. Thank you again.
Thank you very much.
I'd like to next have public comments for land transactions action items. Looks like we have no public comments or people have signed up for that, go ahead. I'm going to ask now for Michelle Herbert and Bob Winslow to come up, please, to present land transactions.
Good morning, Commissioner Franz and members of the board. I'm going to stray from the agenda just slightly, and I promise to be very brief. My name is David Gordon. I am the Assistant Manager for the Conservation, Recreation, and Transactions Division. I'm here just to welcome the new members of the board and give a very short introduction to DNR transactions that you might expect to see before you for your consideration in the months and years to come. So, DNR's goal is to maximize the revenue that we earn from our management of trust lands. At the same time, we try to balance the ecological and other social values that we derive from these lands. In order to do that, we often have to consider repositioning those assets due to the changing needs and demands on the lands. Sometimes an acre that was very productive back in 1800s or early 1900s, population has grown around it and no longer works as well for everybody to manage timber on those lands. So in order to do that, we need to reposition those assets from time to time. We do that through three key mechanisms. We acquire land. We do that from purchases from willing sellers. We we sell the land, and we exchange the land. Today, you're going to hear about two direct transfers of lands. That direct transfers are different from other auctions and sales where the law provides a mechanism to sell directly to governmental organizations and schools, things such as that. Are there any questions before we begin? Hearing none, I'd like to introduce Michelle Burbidge with Mattawa 20.
Great, thank you. Good morning, Commissioner, members of the board. My name is Michelle Burbidge. I am project manager with the Conservation, Recreation, and Transactions Division. Over here. So the transaction that I'm bringing to you today is a 20-acre parcel that we call the Mattawa 20. It is a direct transfer. It's located in Grant County. The RCW that gives us the authority to direct transfer this property to a public agency is RCW 79-17-200, which allows for the direct transfer of lands to public agencies without public auction at appraised market value. Here's a vicinity map showing the general location of the subject property. It's about 46 miles southeast of the city of Ellensburg. The map on the left shows the property outlined in red. You can see it's currently Common School Trust, and it's just east of the city of Mattawa. A little history on this property. It is currently Common School Trust land. The county zoning is agricultural, however, the city zoning is commercial, and it is within the city's urban growth area. You can see the city of Mattawa, the property outlined in blue is the Walloup School District, and our subject property is outlined in yellow. So we were approached by the Walloup School District. They wanted to acquire this property to expand their school facilities. The proceeds, of course, will be used to acquire more productive lands for the trusts. It's been not leased, but used under a short-term land use license for agricultural purposes, and that land use license expired in December of 2016. The appraised market value for this property is $320,000. and the proceeds, again, will go into the real property replacement account to acquire more productive lands for the trust. So at this time, I would be happy to answer any questions and just request that the board approve resolution number 1498. Are there any questions?
Just a question with regard to valuation. Assuming that highest and best use was associated with agriculture?
It was associated with agriculture. It's historically been used for row crop agriculture, but the comparable sales in the area and the nature of this property would actually serve as more valuable land for the use of orchard. But because it is zoned by the city as commercial, it is the higher and best use is to be developed for commercial use, or in this case, the school district facilities.
And then the funds that come from the transaction, used to the funds from Timberland.
Right. Yes.
Can you walk us through how these funds get used?
So this is pure land value. There is not resource value associated with this property, so all of the $320,000 will go into the real property replacement account.
To buy
replacement property for the Common School Trust.
Do you have the option to select timberland versus agriculture?
Yeah, yes, we do. The only requirement is that because it's currently Common School Trust, that whatever land we purchase goes back into that trust. But yes, it could be forest land, ag land. Any more questions?
All right. There's been a resolution that's been proposed, resolution 1498, and a request for approval. Do we have a motion to approve?
Second.
The motion has been seconded. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor of approval of resolution 1498, please say aye.
Aye.
All those against, say nay. The motion to approve resolution 1498 passes. Next item on the agenda is white salmon direct transfer.
Mr. Weaver, members of the board, my name is Bob Winslow for the record, and I'll be the presenter for the White Salmon Direct Transfer Project located in Clickitat County. On this map, on the bottom of this map, you see the Columbia River. Next to it is the city of White Salmon. Up here with the yellow star is the location of the property. This will be a direct transfer to the city of White Salmon following the direct transfer statute for governmental entities. It's Common School Trust land. It's been a water intake site for the city of White Salmon since the 1930s. It's located entirely within the riparian zone of Buck Creek. Here's a picture of the property. On the left side is Buck Creek. On the right side is the B1000 road. It's a narrow property, 100 foot wide by 800 feet long. The trees aren't harvestable because they fall within the riparian zone, the critical areas of the county. This is all grandfathered in from past use. The zoning is one home per 20 acres and forest resources. We're able to do a conveyance under governmental exemption, which allows the conveyance to only be 2 acres. This property has been leased to the city for decades. In 2010, they put in significant improvements in their water system, which I'll show you the next slide. The blue area on the top of this image is Buck Creek. The highlighted pink area is the land that would be conveyed to 2.03 acres. The yellow areas are different structures that are on the property. So water intakes here, then it goes to the first primary treatment, secondary treatment, then it goes into a storage tank, is treated with chlorine, then it's piped from there to the citywide salmon. So the listed improvements are there. As part of this conveyance, the 2 acres, DNR would grant an easement to the citywide salmon for the road, and they buy into our road for $66,389. The city's requested that be financed over 5 years at 6% interest rate, and all this money would go into the permanent account for the Common School Trust. The appraisal of the property is 2.03 acres. The appraised value is $17,000, which is $8,374 per acre. These funds would go 100% into the real property replacement account for the benefit of the Common School Trust by replacement trust lands elsewhere. And it can be forest land, agriculture, whatever type. There any questions in regards to the White Salmon direct transfer?
All right, that, board members, we have a resolution 1499 to transfer without auction to the city of White Salmon the trust property that was described. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second. Is there a motion on the table? Any discussion about the motion? All those in favor of the motion to pass resolution number 1499, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those against? Motion passes. We are going a little longer than expected. I thought with this moment maybe we could take a 10-minute break and then be able to finish up with the items that followed. Thank you.
Oh, I got it.
extended records in all of our
thank you all.
That's wrong.
No.
So we're going to, usually the chair report is only one item, but we've got quite a few very important items. And so what I think I'm going to do is actually parse this out to make it a little bit more easy. So what I'd like is I have a list of people here to speak and provide public comments for the chair report. I'm going to ask all those who are here to speak and do public comments on Singletary's timber sale to please go first, and then we will have a presentation on that item and discussion board, and then we'll move to the marble murrelet and sustainable harvest calculations. So right now I have Connie Bouvet. I hope I'm getting
that better.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The S shows up here, not before. So, but, you know, I'll work on the handwriting. I appreciate your patience with me. So, and then to follow after this, Bill Turner. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Commissioner. Connie Bove, Port Commissioner, Port Angeles. The Port Commissioners of Port Angeles are concerned about the precedent that you'll be setting by allowing a portion of the Singletary timber sale to be reconsidered or deferred. Such an action could have a chilling effect on future timber sales. Bidders and successful bidding contractors would not have assurance that their contract would continue to its finality as originally published, thereby affecting their bottom line, not to mention the detrimental monetary effect on junior taxing districts. The Singletary timber sale was not decided overnight. In fact, it went through a very lengthy process, which included a SEPA and public comment period. We ask that you carefully consider the precedent you will be setting, altering a sale after due process has reached its conclusion and a sale has been offered. Thank you.
Thank you. Dad Cooper, if you can also come up. Go ahead, Mr. Turner.
Good morning, Commissioner Franz and the rest of the board and staff. My name is Bill Turner. I'm the Division Timber Manager for Sierra Pacific Industries in Burlington, Washington. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to you this morning. Several of you are new to the board and therefore are stepping in the middle of this Singletary timber sale. It's been an ongoing process. The DNR staff began planning for the sale in 2008. There's been three different public comment periods at different times. This board initially approved this sale going to auction in 2013 and then withdrew that support when the county and the DNR decided a shoreline permit would be appropriate to obtain to go forward with the sale. That was obtained toward the end of last year, and this board once again approved the sale going forward. And it was in the package, and we got pulled out of the package no less than three times since then. The land which Singletary proposes to harvest is in an area that DNR has established as working forest. And that doesn't mean that recreation is excluded from this area. On the contrary, recreation and working forest and management can exist together. The Snohomish County Council and the Executive in Joint Resolution 17-003 have requested that if DNR chooses, that up to 25 acres be set aside for up to 4 years. The Snohomish County Council, nor anyone else that I have heard of, has ever questioned that this sale would have any irreversible environmental effects and impacts. There's only a question of aesthetics along a trail. If this trail area is to be harvested in the future, as the resolution proposes, then this problem will then just be deferred for up to 4 years, but it's not going to be changed. And it also defers the time in which the recovery and the planting and the growth of those next generation of trees comes. At the minimum bid to set aside timbers in this 25 acres is over 1 million board feet, valued at over $250,000. However, that's not just about this timber sale or the 25 acres or up to or the 4 years. It's about a timber sale program. The proceeds of the process of planning, preparing, selling, and executing timber sales requires a significant field staff time and energy. This deferral we are discussing will take even more field staff time to rework and more delays. The field staff will have to be diverted away from other tasks and sales they are currently preparing. Actions like this are why we are faced with an arrearage that we're dealing with, whether you believe it's the 470 62 million board foot arrearage from the last decade, or over 700 million feet, depends on your calculation. But these are the things, and these are the actions that lead to that arrearage. It doesn't happen all at once. It's an accumulation of several actions like this if you choose to defer. I'd encourage this board to have your first official resolution to your field staff not be one of deferral, but one of support for the field staff and the work they do, and support their valuable time. I hope that you would allow the Singletary sale to go forward as it has already been approved by this board. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioner, board members. My name is Doug Cooper. I'm Vice President of Resources for Hampton Lumber. It's a family-owned company headquartered down in Portland. We have operations in Oregon and as well in Washington and British Columbia. Specifically in Washington, we have sawmills that operate in the communities of Randall, Morton, and Darrington in Snohomish County. We're a large purchaser, as are others in the room, of DNR timber sales. As a purchaser and purchasers, we all consider ourselves customers, service providers, and partners of the DMNR timber sale program. And it's not just the timber sale program, but also as it relates to the opportunities that are provided for recreation and also activities that ensure environmental protection. An action by the board today to rescind its previous approval of the Singletary timber sale is really a statement that says somewhere in that process there was a failure. As you heard today and maybe had heard previously in a presentation by the DNR staff, there was a tremendous amount of work and history that went into the Singletary timber sale. The board previously obviously approved that sale. That sale was intended to ensure and the process that timber sale activity, environmental protection, and recreation are not mutually exclusive. They all can occur essentially at the same time. In fact, we heard a speaker earlier sum up the conversation by saying that the issue was a half-mile hike through a clear cut. So I'll let everyone be their own judge on what that experience offers, but they are coexisting activities on our forest land base. Really at stake here today is the integrity of the timber sale management process. How the board chooses to go forward is going to determine the future of the program. There are values in the process. There are outcomes from the process. If we cannot trust in the process, all values are going to suffer, and that's with all stakeholders. Every stakeholder that participated in the process deserves an explanation of what the failure in the process was. Without that explanation and identification of what didn't work after all those years of due diligence, how can the program go forward? So I'd ask that through your deliberations, if you feel that the process failed, please let everyone know what that failure was so we can improve going forward. So thank you for your time. Appreciate your service.
Thank you. Mr. Kaminsky? And then Mike Town, if you can prepare to speak next.
Good morning, Commissioner, members of the board, once again. For the record, my name is Matt Kaminsky with American Forest Resource Council. This morning, you've heard from two of our members expressing their concerns over the ongoing issues of Singletary. And today, I find myself coming forward this board when I last commented on Singletary in October of last year, October 4th. If you look up the October 4th minutes, you'll see the summary of my comments there. While we're deeply concerned about the precedent this sets for changes to a sale after it's been thoroughly reviewed by DNR staff over a number of years, is in full compliance with county land use requirements at considerable expense to the department, and has been approved by this board after several delays, we're happy to see most of the sale moving forward today. However, as a forest engineer, I'd like to highlight a few things from an operational perspective. First, source of the cost to purchasers from the delay. There's significant work that goes into preparing to bid on a timber sale, including field review, cruising appraisal, obtaining road construction logging bids, and preparation of the bid, including securing funding and day of sale fees, which are significant and takes timing and planning. Changes or delays in offering a sale can significantly increase one or more of these items, increasing the cost of the bidder, which of course, in our market system, decreases the revenues to the seller. Ultimately, this makes DNR a less desirable source of timber to the purchasing community and can have a negative effect on overall sale revenues due to the increased challenges and risk associated with not knowing how stable the program is. But perhaps more immediate concern is to the junior taxing district beneficiaries and assuring the deferred area is a viable management unit in the future to assure returns to the beneficiaries. The type of logging systems proposed, proximity of future harvest units, complexity of the harvest prescriptions, and timing will all affect future viability and future and value of a sale of the timber from these acres. Much of the area proposed is for cable systems, which is more expensive than ground-based harvesting. The distance from whatever future sale this unit is tied to is a potential increase what is referred to as move-in costs. These are the costs associated with mobilizing the equipment needed to harvest a piece of ground. The greater the distance, the more time is needed to harvest a piece is needed in non-production mode to move the equipment, thus increasing the costs. And the complexity of the harvest prescription can have negative impacts to the value of the beneficiaries receive. Significant numbers of leaf trees to work around can decrease production rates, thus increasing unit costs. These factors can increase the unit cost of the purchaser, which will most likely be reflected in lower bids received by the department. I could go way more into much more detail, but the message I hope I'm presenting is there's an additional cost to the beneficiaries to waiting on these 25 acres. Please be mindful that DNR's multiple use statute requires that if additional uses such as recreation are not compatible with the financial obligations in the management of trust land, they may be permitted only if there is compensation for such uses satisfying the financial obligations. And I'd like to remind those that's not just today's 25-acre value. That is for future beneficiaries to maintain your intergenerational equities mandate. So you need to calculate the values for a perpetual payment into the future. Thank you.
Hello again. I just wanted to add on to what I had previously said about Singletary. We do not take this lightly at all. We understand that in order to satisfy as many of the stakeholders as possible, that compromise is the best option to do that. And so subsequently, the recreation and conservation community, the DNR, state parks, and the county have all worked tirelessly in the last couple of years to come up with a solution that would be win-win. We are not asking for the whole timber sale to be removed. We're asking for a portion of it to be studied to see if, to come up with a way that we can compensate the junior taxing district so that there is no loss of revenue. We reject the characteristic that this will be a loss of revenue to trust beneficiaries because of the proximity to Wallace Falls and because of the fact that so many hikers who come there have to turn away on weekends and summer days because there's no parking, that adding another parking and trail opportunity to provide another access to the falls over one rotation cycle would bring in 20 to 30,000 user visits per year over that cycle. And that will generate revenue for the trust beneficiaries as well as the county that might even exceed the value of the timber that would be deferred from this particular sale. It's the nature of having the opportunity for multiple agencies to sit together, especially the county, on land that is Forest Board and owned by the county, means that the county's stake has to be somewhat paramount in regards to this. So for the county to propose that 25 acres be studied for this and defer the revenue that the county would receive from that, based on the promise that it would be beneficial to the citizens of that county, beneficial to the business speaks pretty strongly to that. The reason why this didn't happen on an earlier time level had a lot to do with just timing issues and an election in which a new county representative for that particular district came into place. We had three people represent that district over about 18 months, and all of them were in favor of this particular compromise. However, within the November election, Councilman Lowe became the county commissioner for that area, and he has worked tirelessly to put together this particular compromise. I think the board should respect the opportunity for all of these user groups to come together and to come up with what we consider to be a win-win solution. Thank you again.
I think we might have a question here from one of our board members.
Thank you, Mike. So I want to make sure I understand your economic argument of the parking lot deal alternative, the revenue generator for the beneficiaries. I think your general argument is it creates higher trip visits, 30,000 a year in perpetuity would create a different sort of, I assume, retail sales benefit is what you're suggesting in the trips back and forth. Okay, I just want to make sure I understood that.
Yeah, there would also be property tax, you know, benefits because property value in that area would probably go up because of the proximity to the state park and the new trailhead. But I do want to, again, reiterate that that's not the real argument that we're making. We are going to come up with a way, the hope is here, and I think it's the commitment within a four-year time period, that all the junior taxing districts will be compensated for the revenue loss by the removal of these 20 to 25 acres of land. That's not why it wouldn't come from user visits and people buying potato chips. That would be a separate fund, a separate opportunity.
Thank you. At this time, I'd like to ask Mr. Brody to come up from the Department of Natural Resources to do a presentation regarding this. And welcome, Councilmember Wilson, as well.
Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioner, members of the board. For the record, my name is Angus Brody. I am the Deputy Supervisor for State Uplands. And sitting next to me is Councilman Lowe from Snohomish County. I'm going to give a very short presentation on Singletary, just make sure that we're all familiar about where this sale is located in the state, and also just a few details and history about the sale. And then I'm going to pass it over to Councilman Lowe to read the request from the county, and then we'll open it up for discussions. Obviously, if there's questions along the way, please ask. So the Singletary timber sale is located, as you might have heard earlier from a couple of speakers, in the Rita Foothills, which is located east of the Seattle sort of conurbation area. It's just north of Highway 2 here, near the city of Gold Bar. There's just a closer look at the closer map of the area. This is the city of Gold Bar. This is Highway 2. This green area here is the Wild Sky Wilderness, managed by the U.S. Forest Service. This blue area here is the Wallace Falls State Park. These blue lands are DNR managed lands. These are state forest board lands. And these pink red areas are federally granted trust, the pink areas being Common School. The Singletary timber sale is this sale that's located here in a sort of purple gray color. This is a closer look at the actual timber sale itself, and the timber sale as it was laid out and as it was approved by the board in the January sales packet. Just to locate, give you some location, this area here is the state park, so here is the boundary between DNR managed lands, so this will be the forest, state forest board lands and the state parks. This is the timber sale, unit one. another area of the timber sale, unit three. This area here is a wetland with a wetland buffer around it. This is the unit two of the timber sale. And these blue areas that are identified here are buffers along streams. These green areas here are identified as leave areas within the timber sale boundary. This area here is a special management unit that was designed to leave more trees. You've heard the reference to a clear cut. We referenced our timber sales, which are regeneration harvests, as variable retention harvests. I know that sounds a little wonkish, but the idea is that we don't remove all the trees from an area that we designed for a regeneration harvest. We leave a substantial amount of timber and trees behind. This special management area was designed to leave more trees. So our normal practice is around 8 trees per acre, and I believe in this area there was arranged up to about 20 to 24 trees per acre going to be left. The reason I reference this area is because this area here is the location of the trailhead that the Snohomish County purchased a few years back, and there is a trail already constructed through this area of the forest, not very well highlighted here. I have a map later which will show you that in a little bit more detail. And this trail here is constructed through this area, meets up with one of the roads that we will be constructing. This is a bridge over the road, there will be a road through here so we can remove the timber. These trails zigzag up through this topography here, which I'll show you in a later map, end here. As of yet, there is no trail north to the park. There are a number of proposed routes for that, but it hasn't actually yet been constructed. And so once Councilman Lowe has done his presentation, I can show you a map of what might be the 25 acres that we would potentially withdraw from this sale area. And with that, if there are no further questions, I'll hand it over to Councilman Lowe.
Good morning, Commissioner Franz and Board. I'm Sam Lowe, Snohomish County Council. I represent District 5. We have 5 council members, and my district is represented here on the map today. I do want to say that I do represent the voters of District 5, and I know that this proposal is highly unusual, but we're not here to set precedent. We don't want to set precedent with this particular proposal, but it is important because of the State Park and Wallace Falls that we represent not only the junior taxing districts, but we also represent the voters. It is clear that our council wants this sale to go through. We do not want this sale to be delayed, but we believe there is a workable solution here, and that's the resolution that you have before you this morning. I do want to say that this resolution was passed unanimously by our entire council that represents all the voters of Snohomish County, and this joint resolution also is signed by our executive who represented the district before I did. And so this is this joint resolution is unanimous, and we all represent the voters of Snohomish County, the population of Snohomish County. We've heard from other groups today who are not inside Snohomish County, and we do believe that this is in the best interest of Snohomish County to proceed with holding back up to 25 acres. I know that last month this was voted on. I know last month there were people at the table discussing this, but notably absent last month was Snohomish County. And the reality is because of elections, and I think we're all familiar with that, familiar with the board with elections and familiar with our council. We do have 2 brand new council members, including myself. So I would be glad to take questions at the end of the remainder of this, but I would encourage you that this has been a lot of work with a lot of different groups. I've spoken to the school district in this. They're very familiar with this, very aware of this. They're excited that this is going forward, and they're very aware of the 25 acres. And there's a lot of people that, I mean, there's some that want 40 acres, there's some that never want to see another tree cut again. So to come to this unanimous approval approval here was a monumental task, and so we don't want to interfere with your with the DNR's decision, but we do want to let our voice be heard today.
So after Councilman Lowe approached us with the request from the county, I asked staff to identify possibly which of the 25 acres. And hopefully on this next slide I can show you that. So on this slide, it looks a little different because we've added some of the topography from some of the LIDAR data that we've been collecting around the state. But the sale, this is the state park boundary, this green area here being Wallace Falls State Park. The area here with a hatch is the timber sale. These dashed lines here are the roads that will be constructed as part of the timber sale operation. These red lines are the trails that are currently constructed. I just mentioned that typically what we do for areas, for new areas where we're constructing trail is typically we do that after a timber sale has been conducted. It just so happens in this case with, as you've heard already, some of the mention of the delays around the Singletary timber sale with requiring us to get a shoreline permit and some of the other aspects of the sale. The timber sale, the trails were constructed using grants that needed to be used during the time period, so we went ahead and constructed those trails, and that's why they exist currently on the landscape in this forest area. So again, for location's sake, this is the approximate location of the trailhead and parking lot that the county, I believe, own. And this is the trail that would pass up through that area. And staff have delineated this area here in pink as being the possible area that we would defer from harvest. It's approximately 25 acres. I say approximately because this has all been work done remotely or in an office rather than in the field at this time. As I mentioned earlier, there is a road that will pass through this deferred area if the board chooses to direct the department to go in that direction. So there will be a road and a road right away through that. Some of the trail will be taken by the road or consumed by the road, so the trail will actually go along the road. And as I said before, there is, as of yet, no trail going north to the state park. There is a prospective route going in this direction, and I believe another one going off in this direction. But that is yet to be decided. So we've added on a further area of the timber sale, and if I just flick back to the previous one, it would be this area here that would have been harvested, added in that area as well to be into the deferral area. So we think this adequately buffers the trail and maintains it in a forest condition. Again, one of the aspects that you've heard about is hiking trails within a desirable hiking trail is within a forest condition, in a closed forest condition, rather than in an open forest condition. And that, for folks within the department, necessarily is a conflict in terms of the working forest concept. How do you combine hiking trails with a working forest concept? However, this is the area that would be proposed to be deferred.
Before we go, are there any questions? Go ahead.
So, Angus, I want to clarify some things. In the area that's proposed to be designated, there are existing trails in them. Are they part of a continuous system that accesses the park elsewhere, and it's just that this particular spot does not have access to the state park? That's my first question.
So, as Mr. Town presented DNR, along with state parks, along with Snohomish County, and with the recreation community. When I say the recreation community, there's quite a few groups in that. So there's the hiking interests, there are the mountain bike interests, there are the backcountry horsemen, there are also the motorized interests and recreation. So in the part of the Rita Foothills plan, this area is designated as for non-motorized recreation, and there has been an idea to develop trails across the DNR managed lands into the park, and this is one of the first areas that I believe that we're developing those trails into their full extent. There are other areas in the plan that are further to the north, I believe, and even maybe to the west of it, that are also up in the planning process.
There are no trails today that actually do that. They're actually proposed now that there's a pending sale. And do we know if Parks is prepared to receive those trails and put in infrastructure and facilities to accommodate a continuous system that's
So they, as far as I know, state parks are in the planning process to do that, to make sure that they do have the infrastructure there. There are trails within the park. I haven't put those on. There is a trail, I believe, that goes along the valley here, right? And there is a set of falls here that those trails go to. I don't know, Lisa Anderson here, do you know if there are trails through the park, from DNR land to the park currently?
There are some.
There's not. Trail. There's not. From the south. There's not. Okay. There's a question. Mr. Count, if you want to come up to the mic, I'm
happy
to
hear you.
No,
no problem. Yeah, we'll use the
point here. Point of him.
Oh,
that would be great.
Okay. So, oops, shoot. Wrong way, right?
There you go.
The Wallace River is here. The Wallace River is here, and the Wallace Falls Trail System is over here on this side of the river. There's two waterfalls, 150 feet plus, and then right approximately, it would be maybe right about there, I believe. Actually, it's right about there. There's a brand new bridge that goes over the gorge. It's about 50 feet above the river. It's incredibly spelled. It's an amazing view, both of the waterfalls and outside of the county. It's kind of like a Multnomah Falls kind of view that the DNR and state parks wrote grants for. Now, right at this particular point, you can cross the river, and then on the other side, there's some old logging roads, but there is no trail system, and there's, you know, basically signs saying that don't go here, because what will happen is we don't want people getting into this gorge area to try to find their way to view the falls. So State Parks wants to complete the trail to this trailhead, so that with viewpoints that would be, you know, have fences and other aspects of it, so that people could get up to this bridge and see these viewpoints of the falls without having to park here at the only parking lot that is there. So from here to here, there is no trails at this particular point. The parks wants to build those trails. From here to here, there is no trails. That's on DNR land. But we think that we certainly can get grants utilized and the volunteer labor, because most of the trails that were built in Wallace Falls, especially the last new trails that were built in Wallace Lake, were all built by volunteers. And so, does that kind of answer your question?
Well, there are trails that lead outside the park on the north end. In fact, we have a timber sale currently operating that we purchased last fall from DNR. It's got a trail that leads from the park through our timber sale, called the Summer Breeze Timber Sale. We're required to restore the trail. And so it has been done, it can be done, it will be done.
So just follow up that from that from a comment there by Mr. Turner. You know, this is a graphic of just the other timber sales, the other activities that have occurred around Wallace Fall State Park on DNR managed lands. These are the gray lands here. Wallace Fall State Park is this blue area here. This is the Wild Sky wilderness area, and these various colors of sales of polygons are timber sales that are from the past 10 years. And as Mr. Turner there commented, the typical practice is we, whether there's an existing trail or a new trail going through a timber sale, after the timber sale is complete, we will restore that trail to its original condition. So hopefully that's helpful. That's our typical practice.
And if I may point out, one of the problems with this particular sale is that, you know, with the trailhead being right here, one of the goals is to disperse the hiker from this area to this area. But if this whole area is clear cut, and we spent a lot of money building a trail here, and Snohomish County already has spent about $350,000, I believe, on this trailhead. The casual hiker will drive up here and will see that clear cut and probably won't be as interested in walking through that clear cut, especially if they're a family on a south-facing hillside. And the dispersion won't, you know, won't occur. The user visits will go down significantly. The other sale that was up here that they were talking about is very far away from, you know, where the hiker or the mountain biker is predominantly more of a mountain bike opportunity up there. There's a thinning sale that's up there. That's a different kind of component than the type of prescription that would be done in this particular area.
Any other questions?
I'm still confused about the trails in that pink area there with the parking lot at the south end. When people get out of their cars and walk into the pink area, where are they going?
So at the moment, this is just an existing system. So it's an existing closed system. There is no exit, if you like, from these current trails at the moment.
Destination.
Or a current destination to it. So these are designed as mountain bike and hiking trails. And, you know, this is this area, if I go this way, this area here, doesn't yet have a trail system built within it, but under the Rideau Forest Recreation Plan, the idea is to establish a trail system across this. So we're in the beginning phases of establishing that trail system.
And my question comes, sir, somebody who gets out of their car and walks into the pink area temporarily, if this delay goes forward, they are in forest that hasn't been cut, but as soon as they walk out of the pink area, they're going to be faced with forest that has been cut, is that correct?
Correct. This area here that's in the hatch here will be harvested. That's correct. Yeah.
And I do believe, Angus, you mentioned before that parts are clear cut and parts are VRH, VHR, something like that. That's not a clear cut. Without considering saving the 25, could you explain where that
these VRH, these are variable retention harvests. We would maintain that this whole area here, and I'll switch back to this previous slide. This whole sale is a variable retention harvest system. The reason being is because we're maintaining small clumps of trees within these areas that are going to be harvested, where we're going to remove, you know, somewhere up to 90% of the trees within these areas, right? But there are going to be clumps of trees left, large stumps from legacies from old from the previous harvest that occurred here some 80 to maybe 100 years ago when it was previously harvested. We're also maintaining Chris Mendoza was one of the commenters earlier, buffer areas around our riparian areas as well as around these wetlands. So the whole feature that looks, it, you know, it's not all trees and all vegetation is removed in a classic case of a clear cut. We're leaving quite a lot of legacies and quite a lot of areas around these sensitive resources as we conduct our harvest activities.
If the plan for the trails that are going to lead towards Wallace Falls are plans and not actualized, it won't be for a year or some, and the harvest went forward and eventually those trees grow up 1, 2, 3 years, when are those trails likely to be completed and how old would the regrowth be?
That's a good question. Let me flick to this slide. So you're talking about the trails that would be constructed north of this area here, possibly one going north up to this area here. So this sale area, the Singletary, so if it's sold, it won't be sold, I don't believe now in February, because it will be sold in March. It has 18 months to 24 month contract. I think it's an 18 month contract on it. So, and then replanting would occur a year or so after that, after the end of that contract, once the trees have been harvested. So the trails north, in theory, could be built after the timber sale has been completed, so within 18 months, if State Parks finishes their planning process and we're successful in getting grants to build those trails and build the rest of the facilities out here. It could be 2 years' time. We don't know at this point. Those funds yet have not been secured. So the trees at that point will be 2 to 3 to 4 years of age while until the trail has been built or established. Does that help? It's, there's some speculation in there. I just want to make sure that you understand.
The 25 acres that we're discussing, do you have an approximate value?
We don't have an approximate value. I think Mr. Turner gave you a value this morning. It's about 1 million board feet. So we... I will go back to this map, because we will maintain the prescription of this sale, right? So this special management area will still exist. In other words, we will not, if we defer the harvest on this 25 acres and we come back at some later day and decide that we're going to harvest it, this will still be a special management area. We will still retain that 20 to 24 trees per acre in that area, and then we will retain some trees in this area. So still with that calculation, I still think we're looking at about 1 million board feet being removed. I think Mr. Turner's estimate was $250,000. It could be somewhere between $250,000 and $500,000. Let's put it in that range.
What's the success of transactions DNR has been involved in where they're approached with the desire to have an alternative to timber harvest, and commitments are made, or at least the willingness is expressed to generate revenue and compensate the DNR?
So the I can be corrected here, but the only example that I can think of, again, it's not at this scale. We've had some other examples where counties have reconveyed their land, such as Whatcom County, where 8,600 acres was reconveyed, but there was no compensation from DNR, at my understanding, to the school districts. I think there was some other compensation that the county organized. Is Blanchard Mountain. And Blanchard Mountain was there as a core area of Blanchard Mountain. This is an area in western Skagit County where a large group of stakeholders along with DNR, or a diverse group of stakeholders along with DNR, identified a core area of 1,600 acres of which the timber value was going to be compensated for. That estimate was $12 million, and we've received about half of that value from the legislator to date. The timeline on that agreement is actually passed. We got an agreement from the group that put that agreement together to extend it for another couple of years, and we're seeking still $7.7 million from the legislator to compensate for that. However, That was a larger scale. It wasn't 25 acres. It was, as I say, 1,600. But I don't know of any others at this point.
So what I've heard you say is that somewhere in the neighborhood of upper end, $500,000 is on the table here for conversation.
Potentially, yes.
And what I've heard you say is that securing funding to make an acquisition for that kind of, say, conservation is a challenge in our current environment for larger transactions.
So I would characterize that as correct. For these larger transactions, it has been, and with working with the legislator, with their tough challenges of the in the capital budget, correct?
What is the typical amount of money that you require a timber sale purchaser to place on the table to secure a timber sale?
I believe that's a... are you talking about when, on day of sale, the bid deposit? I believe that's 10%. Is that correct? So,
yep.
And they're under 10% of the value. Yeah.
And the other question that I have for you, Councilman, thanks very much for representing the people. It's a challenging issue. I appreciate your leadership. Is the county prepared to actually step forward with monies to help secure this transaction?
So if you're talking 10% of $500,000, $50,000, clearly I can go back to my council and put forth another resolution toward that effect. But I think what that would do is end up delaying this process even further and making it even more difficult. And our number one priority on this is to make sure our junior taxing districts get their money as soon as possible and also have closure, and that's why we put the four-year limit in there so that they have closure, that if we can't find a solution in 4 years or find a way to make them whole, that this can be harvested in 4 years.
So you're committed to the cash flows the junior taxing districts are going to receive either through timber harvest or generating revenue some other way.
Right.
And the current plan for that, is that, what is the contract length on that, Angus?
So the current contract length ran till September of 19th. So 18 months.
24 months. How difficult will it be for the county to secure as much as $500,000 in that same time?
Our council is looking at a four-year process, not 18 months, on making the taxing districts whole. And so there has not been any discussion towards that.
So just going back to the reference of Blanchard Mountain, I believe that was agreed in 2010. And help me out here, Lisa, how many years was Blanchard Mountain that we have?
Yeah, we had till September 2015, and they've extended it now 2 years.
So that was 5 years, but again, a larger area, larger sum of money, and going and working with the legislator, just for reference.
So after we've heard from the other members, I would like to offer some comment. I've got some experience dealing with this issue and a potential alternative for us to consider.
Okay. Mr. Tommy, have you had access to the... Angus, would you like to present, council member who presented the resolution that was adopted unanimously by Sandwich County? Would you like to present currently the resolution, and then I would like to make sure there's an opportunity for Commissioner Speech has proposed alternative language, just so that way we have presentation for board members and for the public.
Good. Absolutely. So here on the screen is a draft resolution that we sent to the board end of last week in response of a potential response for the board to consider to Snohomish County's resolution. I won't read this word for word, but I'll go through each piece of this and I'll have my best attempt to explain what it does. So this is a response to Snohomish County's resolution. Sorry, you want to go?
I just wanted to make sure that we corrected this. Just for the day.
You're the ones that most significant to be able to explain.
Okay. so I will not go through the whereases.
Thank you.
Section one is to delay the timber sale until the month of March for sale. Section two is to provide the supervisor of the department, that is Eric Schroff, discretion to make a series of actions related to the timber sale. The first one is that he can defer up to 25 acres of the land to accommodate Snohomish County's council's request. We can impose additional harvest restrictions on that 25 acres as needed to accommodate the request. And Section C there is a little bit of a catch-all, is therefore to take appropriate action and lawful action to accommodate the request. So in this case here, the thinking was, and the reason to use this language was so that we could explore with Snohomish County what would be the mechanism by which to keep the trust beneficiaries whole. Obviously, this would have normally been a sale of timber, and in the case of that sale of timber, we would have received monies for that, and that would have then been distributed to the counties. But the request by the Snohomish County is to defer this 25 acres to protect the trail. The question then becomes, well, what mechanism would we use? Would we use some sort of conservation easement to distribute the funds? So the county or private funds would come through the county to us, and we would sign a conservation agreement for a period of time, perhaps one rotation, perhaps a number of years, which we would defer the timber harvest on this area so as to protect the trail. We don't yet know what is the mechanism, so this Section C is a bit of a catch-all so that we can explore that mechanism. And Section D gives authority to the supervisor to reappraise the timber value of the sale so that we can move it forward. You, the members of the Board of Natural Resources, are in fact the appraisers of timber. That's why you see the timber sales every month. That's why you pass a resolution on them. This would pass that authority for Eric to be able to make that reappraisal and to get the sale reappraised and up for sale so that our purchasers can take another look at it and see if they want to bid on it in March of this year. So, and then Section 3 refers to the long-term nature of this deferral. So there's going to be some relationship between Section 3 and obviously the agreement that we finally make with Snohomish County that we would explore out of Section 2C. So that essentially is the elements of the of this resolution for your consideration.
Thank you very much. I know that you've also prepared another proposed resolution. Would you like to speak to?
So I have a copy of that, and I'll bring that up as well.
We haven't had a chance to speak. You know, I wanted to share with the Board. I have experience managing 200,000 acres of timberland on the Olympic Peninsula, and I've dealt with this many, many times. The largest transaction I dealt with was the Whole River Trust. That was a transaction that took me 5 years. What I find successful in a conservation transaction is a clear commitment. It has to look good. And then the individual that wants to pursue this, some very definitive timelines to work with that allows them to leverage people that may have funds available. So the changes that I recommend address those two issues based on my experience. I've also heard very valuable comments about the potential impact of the DNR timber sales program. Consider that from this day forward, every single timber sale that we deal with has another small or larger exclusion request. How shall we go about that? And what it transaction, we do a couple of things. Number one, cash flow that's being generated through this transaction needs to tie to the proposed timber sales, whether it's the harvest of timber or whether that is the supply of funds. And if you look at the previous proposal, there was a four-year window. If you take a look at this language, it's a two-year window, applies a two-year contract. But the concept that I'm sharing is that to the junior taxing districts, the cash flow is identical. They see no difference, they experience no impairment. Also, the fact that this has certainty is very important. In the DNR timber sale, by the way, I am one of the few people at this table who's ever bought a DNR timber sale. I know that when you buy a DNR timber sale and you don't execute it, you forfeit your deposit. You treat those transactions very seriously. And that's what I'm proposing is that for this transaction, an amount of money is placed on the table that is at risk. If this transaction does not occur on the same timeline that would have occurred in the case of the timber harvest. We've just got ballparks on the value of the timber. You know, I did a packet of the envelope on this before I moved to the meeting in the class somewhere in the neighborhood of 400 to 1 foot. You add the present net worth of the future cash flows, you know, if you roll the land value to it, we're probably in that $500,000 neighborhood. We'll know when that timber sale occurs. But the recommendation that I have for the board to consider is that we're going to structure some certainty on this transaction. And that certainty is going to be driven by the risk the county is willing to take in the form of posting $50,000. And what I also see is the time frame that's being identified is very narrow. I've worked with this kind of transactions. It will be tough, but you can do it. I've done it myself over and over. So my suggestion is to consider the fact that you're setting precedents. We are setting precedents on timber sales in the future. We have a responsibility to the junior taxing districts, and we have heard from the county council and their desire to support their citizens. I believe that if we do not include these changes, we run the risk of future proposals and future timber sales that we are going to struggle with how to deal with them. You know, it could be the case that this becomes the baseline for a policy that's looked at. This transaction has been worked on since 2008. Is going to be a future process that says, would you consider or would you want the option of purchasing through a conservation easement or whatever mechanism as part of the timber sale process, we might be able to address this before we have approved the timber sale. So I ask the board to consider those two changes.
And it's such a that Commissioner Peach put forward. I have one question, Angus, if the language that Commissioner Peach put forward in section 3, March, we go forward, we have now two options for a timber sale, right? Because it really depends on whether the county is able to come forward with that deposit that is being proposed here, correct? Because if they're not able to come forward, then we're back to the timber sale that you put up for auction that was voted on in January. I'm wanting to make sure that we're not sitting here now with two sales that are, and if the county's not able to come up with that money, but it appears that may be the case.
Potentially that could be the case. I think I hadn't really thought through this whole process, so to be honest, I had thought that what we would do originally was under the original resolution, there would be the timber sale, the single-family timber sale with the 25 acres removed. If we add in this language, I'm not sure, and I'm going to turn around to Tom and put him on the spot, whether there's a mechanism, and Darren, whether there's a mechanism for us to have that uncertainty built into the timber sale, because What we would be asking is for the timber sale purchasers to bid on two different sales, of one which would not happen and one which would. So is there a, can we do that? Tom?
No, I think that the proposal that we looked at for barn sales would be to offer the sale without the 25 acres. Asking the purchaser to come with two sets of checks is asking too much of them. If there was no resolution that fell through and there was no going forward with 25 acres with deferral, we could add that 25 acres to a future sale to the north or off to the east.
Yeah. So
we wouldn't let it go, but it wouldn't be part of the secondary sale.
Thank you. And then that goes to my second question. My second question is, my understanding is that there is quite a number of other sales that follow this or in this area that are put out for, I don't know, 4 years. I don't know what that timing is. Can you speak to the other sales that are proposed that are farther out in time that I think was the idea that the 25 acres would be joined with those future sales? So we're not having one-off.
Right.
25 acres, 187.
Yeah, there's about 1,200 acres that get access because of the road and the bridges that we're building as part of the sale. Part of the issues surrounding this and why maybe the Singletary seems large and where it is and where it's located is there is quite a bit of infrastructure in that roads and bridges that we need to build so that we can access the rest of this landscape for timber harvest as well as recreation activities. So there are other timber sales that are planned. There are. I asked the region 2 or 3 weeks ago to provide, you know, what are your plans for this area? So there are other sales. If I switch back to the map, I can only give you a sketch of where they will be. See if I can do that quickly. So the other timber sales, there is another one planned in this area. This is a smaller it's a smaller regeneration, variable retention harvest plus a thinning. I believe there is another one, but I believe these are accessed from the north here, so they don't. There are other timber sales in this area here. One is a regeneration harvest, the other is a thinning. So I think it's the only one that is in the plans and in the works for the span of the next 4 years is one that's located here. So if these 25 acres were not sold, then I think they would be combined with this sale here. But again, that we would leave that up to district staff to figure out when is the best time to market these the sale along with the other factors that they consider as they put together a timber sale.
I think probably given our time at this point, and I appreciate all the conversation, but it's good for us to hear from board members if there's a motion. We have two potential resolutions that have been put forward. I love that,
I'm not going to make a motion on either one of them. Wait.